If you've got your bulletin, just turn to the inside page there. We're going to, over the next year, have what they used to call a memory verse. We're going to try and learn some scripture together. It's one of the things I really feel like the Lord has put on my heart as over the summer. And, you're not going to get tested on it. No one's going to tug at you if you don't do it. You know, it's up to you. But a little experiment. Just have a go at learning some things. And see how God uses it in your life, and you'll find that He does. And so as you walk into that, you might be one of those people with a fantastic memory, and you go, well, I've learned that in 5 seconds. Give me another one. Or you might have a memory like mine, and it might take you a while. So we're just going to do one a month. If you want more, we can help you with that. But we're just going to do one a month, and we're going to start with what I'm speaking on this morning, which is Jeremiah 29:11. So just have a look at that. Let's say it out together, shall we? So have you got it? Got it? Yeah. Yeah? So let's say it together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, isn't that amazing? Hey, isn't that amazing? So, Bren has done this fantastic thing where she's put a pair of scissors next to it. Can you see that? That is beautiful, isn't it? I asked her to do that because you can cut that out and stick it on your fridge and stick it on your toilet door and stick it on your notice board at work. So you're reading it. And Dave Clark next week is going to give us some handy hints on how to learn. Because sometimes sometimes we need that. How do you do that? How do we do it? So for lots of you know that one already. But think about it this week. Meditate. That's a good word for you. Meditate on it. What is that for? What does that mean? Is that for me? And we'll have another go at saying it next week. There might be a prize. I don't know. That's the sort of thing Katie would do, isn't it? If it was Katie standing here, she would say, there will be a prize. So let's assume that Katie's going to give us a prize in the I might mention that to her later. So if you've got your Bibles, you can stick with the bulletin, or you can turn to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to read some verses there in a minute, but just kind of get your finger in there. So we're thinking about, I've been on sabbatical, for those of you who don't know. I've had 3 months where I haven't been in church. I've been back for a month. I'd like another month off, but apparently that's not allowed. 1 month on, 1 month off? No? Okay. But I had an amazing time on sabbatical, and the Lord spoke to me about lots of things, some of them personal and some of them for the church. But one thing God kept speaking to me about was about being known, that God knows me. And that's a huge thing, isn't it? It's a huge idea. If you look around the room right now with, I don't know, 180 adults in this place, 250 people in total. Does God know every one of us? If you were at the footy yesterday and you're looking out over 30 or 40,000 people, does God know every one of them? As we think about the world, the 7 billion people in the world, does God know every one of them? It's an incredible thing when you start thinking about it. And if God doesn't know every one of them, He's not much of a God. I have to say that. Philosophically, he needs to be big enough to know us all. Otherwise, he's not doing a great job, is he? To be known is something that is human, and we want to be known. And if somebody gets your name right and knows you, it's a wonderful thing. And if somebody gets your name wrong and calls you something that is not your name, I don't want you, but I always feel embarrassed, even though it wasn't my mistake. I was in a pastor's meeting. There was food. If you want to get pastors somewhere, offer them food. I'm in a pastor's meeting, I'm lining up for food, and the bloke behind me goes, "Hello, Mr. J." I'm like, "Hello," didn't know he was. But I'm like, "Isn't that lovely? I'm famous." Bloke in the queue behind me knows me. And he starts chatting to me, and it turns out I'm the wrong Mr. J. He doesn't know me. I felt bad. He wasn't bothered, I don't think. But I felt bad. We want to be known. It's something that evolutionary biology cannot explain to you. But we have a deep-seated need to be known. We want to be known. And I want to think about that this morning. So we're going to read from Jeremiah 29. We'll read just a few verses. This is a letter. So Jeremiah is a prophet, and he is in this bit of his book, in this bit of his prophecy, he's writing a letter to his fellow countrymen who have been taken into captivity. They're not in a good place. Life is pretty crappy for them. And he's writing to them this letter. This Jeremiah 29, verse 4. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, isn't that great? Just me then. Isn't that great? You know, one of the reasons I believe we are made to be known is because we're made in the image of God. And when we think, a little bit of deep theology for you this morning, but when we think about the Christian God, we talk about the Trinity. We prayed for Isaac, didn't we? A Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. There is a knowing inside the very identity of God. If you like, he knows himself. But we're made in his image. So we're made to know. We're made for community. We're made for other people. I just want to think about these things this morning. What if God knows you, but you don't know God? What if God knows you, but you don't know God? Now, there's an idea in the Bible that says that God knows everybody. That's what I started with, didn't I? That God knows everybody. And from the book of Genesis and in the Old Testament at the very start, all the way through to Revelation and the New Testament at the end, covering 15,000 years, nobody's really very sure, a long time, there is this idea that God knows us. In Matthew 10, verse 30, Jesus says that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. That's why there's baldness in the world. Make it easy for the Lord. Come on. It's obviously, it's a crown of glory, isn't it? But your head's all of it. And there's a lot of hair there on lots of us. And there is this idea that God, Jesus is saying, the Father knows you. In that Matthew 10 passage, he said, God knows about the sparrows that fall and the magpies that poop on my car every morning. God knows about them. He knows about us. And throughout Scripture, you know, Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139, you search me and you know me, you knit me together. There is this like thing about God knowing us. But then there's this deeper level. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. That's us. That's you and me. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. There is a knowing, and there is a knowing. What if God knows us, but we don't know God? And it comes really down to trust. Can we trust that there is a God in the first place? Can we trust the Bible? Can we trust Scripture? Can we trust the people who are talking at the front of a church? Can we trust them? Jeremiah is writing to people in Babylon, Iraq, Iran, that kind of neighborhood, Iraq probably. And he's writing to them, and they have been taken into captivity, and life is awful for them. Their city has been completely destroyed. The walls have been taken down, burning and raping and pillaging. This is Aleppo. If you, like me, are watching Channel 4 News every night going, Lord, what can we do? Because this is horrendous. And it's not just Aleppo, is it? It's the Yemen and it's 100 other places around the world. And we look at it and we say, what is going on? And for lots of people, that makes them go, there can't be a God. How can there be a God if this is happening? And for others, we go, well, God, if you are in control, why don't you do something? And there's answers to those questions. Sometimes they're not very good answers. You know, it's man's inhumanity to man. Well, that is a good answer because that's the truth, isn't it? There's the answer that actually if God intervenes in every situation, that takes away free will. So we just become robots. He just makes us do what we want him to do, what we want to happen. That God is in our, under our control rather than the other way around. But there's all these massive questions. We look at the world in which we live. Who? Where is he? Is he there? Does he exist? And Jeremiah is writing to the people in that sort of place. And he's saying, I know the plans I have for you. Trust me. Hang on in there. Don't give up hope. God has got a plan for your life. Are you known? What if you know God, but God doesn't know you? Now, I've already said that God knows everybody, in one sense. But what about that knowing? That, you know, some of you I've greeted this morning, and I don't know you. And others I've greeted this morning, and I know an awful lot about you. Got a deep friendship. You know an awful lot about me. Let's not broadcast that stuff. It's a deep friendship. And there's this knowing. In the Avengers, Captain America, Loki jumps out the plane? One of them jumps out the plane. Thor, isn't it? Jumps out the plane. And Loki, and Captain America says, there's only one God, ma'am. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't look like that. Doesn't dress like that. There's this cornucopia. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? There is this plethora. I don't know what these words mean, but they're good. There is this this massive variety of religion, isn't there? We live in a global village. I don't know what the people who live next door to you believe, but we've got a nice elderly Church of England couple on one side and a Buddhist lady on the other. In your street, in your office, in your workplace, we've got Hindus and Muslims and Zoroastrians and Christadelphians and Scientologists and Church of God and Prophecy. And oh, God, loads of them, isn't there? Which one's right? Well, you're in church this morning, so this one must be right, right? Is that arrogant to say that? How do you know that the one that you're praying to is the one? How do you know? You know God, but God doesn't know you. You're saying, God, I'm praying to you. God's going, is that for me? That wasn't for me. Are you speaking to me? No. How do you know? Well, it goes back to trust, doesn't it? How do you trust? In the New Testament, Jesus comes. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. That's what the Christians believe. That's what we believe. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to know if there is a God, investigate Jesus. Did he really live? He is the most attested historical figure by 100 times. You could disprove the life of Henry VIII before you can disprove the life of Jesus. Incredible amount of historical literature to prove he lives. To prove he dies, crucified by the Romans. To prove he rose from the dead. Well, there is no body. As we look at the world's religions, we need to ask the question, am I praying to the right God? Is there a God in the first place? And I know for me, I've found the truth in Jesus. I'm not arrogant about that. I don't go up to my Buddhist neighbor and say, oh, are you praying to an imaginary friend? That's not helpful for relations. Especially when you want the bins put out. That's not good, is it? We love people. We love people, but we point them to Jesus. Do you know God? But God doesn't know you. Are you known? Do you know God? And God knows you. This is fantastic in Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. This is not written to Jeremiah, an individual. This is Jeremiah writing to a people. How many of them? I don't know, thousands. He's writing to a people. So this is not one of those verses that's just specifically for this person on the front row. This is for the people of God. That's why it's so fantastic. If you know God, God says, I have plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I love the word plans. The Hebrew word is plural. It's not just a plan. To become a Christian, to follow God, to be a believer. That's part of it. But it's not just a plan. It is plans. God's got stuff for you to do, for you to be involved in. If your life is dreadfully dull, then you need to be saying to God, God, I'm just bored of this. Where's the plans? Let's get the plans out the cupboard, shall we? What's God got for me? I want to walk in that. I want to see that. Jeremiah says to the people, he says, I've got a plan. God's got a plan for you. And it's a plan that involves the city. These people are a tiny minority in a global empire where the global empire does not believe what they believe and actually ignores most of what they say. Ring any bells? And yet Jeremiah says, don't hide yourselves away. Don't try and escape. Don't sabotage. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He doesn't say try and bring down the empire. He says, get involved. Build your house. Marry your kids off. Settle down. Pray for the prosperity of the city. We should pray for the prosperity of Liverpool or whatever city it is you come from. You can pray for Manchester if you want to. Listen, this is going to be hard for me to say. You can pray for Sunderland if you want to. Thank you, Lord. Pray for the prosperity of the Scousers and the Geordies and the Mackhams and the Wherevers. And be part of the life of the city. That's what Christians are called to do. As we go and offer hope. You know, Halloween, you know, it's in the shops from about July now, isn't it? Right? And there is still an idea that it's fun. But you go and speak to anybody who lives on their own, who's old, and they will say, whoa, that is horrible. You know, and if we live in nice middle-class neighborhoods, it might be all right. But there's bits of the world where this is dark and nasty. And if we can get out there and bring a bit of light, praise God. That's what Jeremiah is saying. God's got a plan for you. Not just to sit at the sidelines and watch, but to get involved. He's got a plan for you to prosper. I love that word. Anybody not fancy prospering? In the Christian church, there seems to be like this thing where preachers have to choose and churches have to choose. So you can be a prosperity gospel church. You might have heard that about those churches where basically if you just send me money, life will be good for you and it'll be all right for me too. And if you want to try that, don't let me stop you. 285 Brodie Avenue. Checks are fine. If you want to do that, that is absolutely fine. And actually, I believe the scripture speaks about prosperity of the believers. And we need to preach that. But it also speaks about, Jesus says, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. And we have this call to suffer. And in Christianity, you've got these two things, and so often we want to just hold on to one of them or the other. Misery, suffering, Christianity, until you die. Who's with me? Or ask for whatever you want and you can get it. Where's your BMW? Actually, that's aim higher. Actually, you can hold on to the two things. That's what Jesus says. Hold on to these two things. The word prosperity. The word prosperity comes from the word shalom, which is peace, but not the absence of war, but the presence of God in your life. The presence of God when you live in Aleppo. That feeling that you know God is with you and for you. And you don't know when this is going to end, and it is horrendous, and nothing gets rid of that stuff. But at the same time, you know that God is for you. I wonder whether you feel known this morning. Do you feel like God knows you? Do you feel like if God knows you, he wouldn't want to know you? If he sees what you do, he wouldn't want to know you. Let me tell you, he's seen it all before. And he can cope. And if you want to know what it is to be truly alive, you need to be known by God. And to be known by God, you need to meet him. And the Bible says you can meet him through Jesus. You can do that this morning. You can do that through the week. You can encounter him. Because he's got plans for your life. But you'll only know those plans if you walk on with him. What's God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the joy that's in this house this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the dedication of Isaac. We thank you, Lord, that his name means he laughs. Lord, I pray that we would know you, that we'd be known by you, and that would give us great joy. That we would know that we're not just praying to the air, but that we're praying to the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.